Now, the rest of the story. The boy was stabbed in the eye. He was three and playing with the tools in his father's harness shop when he picked up a sharp-pointed awl and stabbed himself in the eye. And this was 150 years before antibiotics. The infection spread to the other eye. Little Louis was not yet four. He was utterly, totally sightless. Anyone who can see is terrified by the very idea of ever being blind, and yet it was infinitely worse in 1812. Then the blind were mocked and ridiculed. But the loving parents of the little French lad, though peasants, themselves did without to send their son to the only school for the blind then in existence, in Paris. Students at the institute were taught the alphabet by forming each letter with twigs. Few students were able to learn much by this tedious method, but Louis did. He was a brilliant student. Upon graduation, became a teacher at the academy, and there he spent most of his life in obscurity. Outside the academy, he was lost and lonely and unwanted except by his parents, and eventually they were gone. And one day he was gone. Nor was there even one line in any Paris paper to mark his passing at the age of 43. The world has since discovered something he left behind. After a long workday at the French Academy for the Blind in 1830, instructor Louis was seated at a Paris café when a captain in the French army introduced himself, asked if he could join him at the table, and Louis was delighted. And as the conversation unfolded, the captain, relating his military experiences to his enthusiastic audience of one, mentioned night writing. He said in the battlefield situation, where any light at night was a target, messages were sent from one outpost to another by coded marks on thick paper, marks which a man could touch and feel and comprehend without turning on a light. Well, Louis listened and thought about it, and the more he thought about it, the more excited he became. And that night, back at the academy, he experimented with stylus and slate. Through holes in the slate, he could punch out letters and numbers. This was too tedious, so he tried yet another tool, and this time devised a code using symbols for sounds. 10 fundamental signs formed the basis of all of the others. Under the first 10 letters, one dot, under the second 10, so forth. Fellow teachers at the academy were enthusiastic, but nobody else. The institute's director considered the sequence of punch marks folly, forbade teachers from teaching the technique. What students did practice the reading system Louis had devised did so in secret, and they were punished if they got caught. Well, by now you're aware that Louis was Louis Braille. You're assuming a happy ending. Not exactly. Throughout his lifetime, the Braille system was derided or ignored. It was only after he died from tuberculosis, alone and penniless, that Louis Braille's system was adopted, eventually to be translated into the languages of the world. Nothing did so much to bring the blind into the mainstream of society and commerce and industry, deftly gliding sensitive fingertips across those punch marks on paper. Millions the world over were enabled through books to see through their fingers. And they more than most will be intrigued to learn that the revised system relied on Louis Braille's familiarity with one particular tool, remembered for what it was from the earliest days of his life. For the dots in paper which threw open the window on the world for the blind of all generations since and yet to be, the first punch marks, which remain essentially unchanged to this day, were made with the sharp tip of a leather worker's awl. That's right. The same tool which at the age of three had cost Louis Braille his eyesight. And now you know the rest of the story.